Edinburgh-based fashion designer Keston Hare worked with a number of labels, including Nigel Caburn and Burberry, before launching his eponymous label in 2014. Mainly manufactured in Britain, the styles are quickly changing the perception of Scottish design in fashion circles around the world. Along with a shop in Shoreditch, Keston and architect Gunnar Groves-Raines have also created a unique retail and workspace along the water in Leith, 10 minutes from the city centre of Edinburgh. Once a customs house and ship repair shop, Custom Lane now houses the label alongside a roastery and cafe, tool library, and design studio Grass. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Matt Alagaya. For this week's episode, our producer Daniel Bache travelled to Edinburgh to meet Keston and his wife Gemma, who left a demanding job with Harvey Nichols to head up brand, marketing, and strategy. Daniel began by asking Keston about his experience and what led him to launch his own label.
I think it probably stems from my parents, first of all. My dad was an architect, my mum was an interior designer. I kind of went to quite a kind of academic sort of school, but you know, I kind of realised that really wasn't my kind of strength. So I kind of pursued a career initially in sort of drawing and painting. So after school, I went and did a foundation degree in fine art just to kind of try and figure out what I wanted to do. I always knew I was into clothes and wearing clothes and going out clubbing and seeing about brands and everything. So I think kind of after that year, I sort of realised that fashion was for me, and I went to Northumbria to study like a BA. It was fashion and marketing, it was called at the time, of which there was kind of a four-year degree with a year placement, where I ended up going and working in London for a high street retailer called Reiss. Spent a bit of time working for them, which was meant to be for 3 months, and continued on with them for the year, and then they sponsored my final degree show and then offered me a job afterwards. So that was kind of my first step into it.
I'm curious about the idea for setting out on your own, Keston, with your experience and putting a label with your own name, what that vision looked like, and if it looks like the brand that you have today.
I think it doesn't matter what kind of discipline that you are, whether you're an architect or a photographer, or a writer or whatever, you're always kind of molded by your kind of experiences. You're sort of taking every experience that you had, along the route, and that becomes, kind of the person that you are, or the designer that you are today. So my experience, particularly with Nigel Caburn, I did a little bit of work with Burberry and Margaret Howell as well. That definitely kind of all merged together with my own kind of handwriting is kind of, created what Keston Hare is today, the kind of the look and feel. Nigel Caburn was obviously a massive influence within my kind of training as a designer. UK manufacturing was really important to him, and when we were there and during the time of the designing of the Ascent for Caburn collection, which was part of my training, and I think at the time we didn't really realize how kind of how great that was going to be, that whole kind of collection. And UK manufacturing was so important to Nigel, and he kind of drummed that into me, and we spent a lot of time going around and visiting factories and seeing what they were capable of. And we still use a lot of these factories now today for Keston Hare, and that's really important for us as a brand. 70% of our collection is made in the UK, and we're really proud of that.
And where are you sourcing materials from? Do you still do a lot of that legwork as well, looking for...
Definitely. I mean, it's, if you look at our collection, it's maybe not the most kind of tricksy in terms of, fashion, pattern cutting, or, for me, it's all about where it's made and the fabric and silhouette. So fabric sourcing is a massive part. My business partner, Masataka, is based in Japan. I spend a lot of time in Osaka, in the mills there, searching for unique fabrics. I spent a lot of time in Italy, so we use a lot of Japanese fabrics, a lot of Italian fabrics, and where possible, UK fabrics. And at the moment, for spring summer 19, which we've just been showing in Paris and in Berlin, we're kind of reinventing garment dyeing in Scotland with Hallie Stevenson, which is a kind of a first probably for the last two decades or so. So you know, where possible, you know, I'm trying to use local fabrics. It's difficult because we're kind of trying to produce all different types of products within the collection, you know, from trousers right through to shirts and jersey. And, you know, we're kind of a nation of leather and tweed, and it's impossible to kind of make everything out of local fabrics, but we try our best to kind of push the boundaries of that.
Gemma, when you talk about the brand, obviously when you're talking about a fashion line, people need to feel the clothes, they need to see the collections. But when you describe the brand and the look of it, what does that look like?
I think it's something which, as the years have gone by, we have become more confident in the fact that it's Scottish. I remember when we were first, you know, working on search terms and bios, I think we always felt initially quite cautious as to how far to push it. So we used to say that Kesson was a British designer, really interestingly, which actually now we have gone confident in the fact that he's a Scottish designer, and that we've actually now even created labels, garment labels for Spring Summer 19, which says Scotland underneath the brand name. Because I think that for us, this is absolutely 100% Kesson's USP. You know, he really is challenging the preconceptions of Scottish design. Quite often, you know, we get it a lot, is that people think that Scottish design is very cliched. It's, you know, tartan, tweed, it's, you know, thistles, but actually you can do all of those things, but you can make it look fresh and modern. And that's what Kesson is doing, is that he really is, I think, upping the ante and showing people that actually it can be so much more. And we have, you know, huge ambitions for that, that when people come to Scotland, people want to buy something from Scotland, but it tends to be relatively, you know, either from tacky Scottish tourist shops, all seems to be very traditional. And I think that's where Kesson is now coming out in his own unique area. And for us, you know, pushing Kesson, he's very honest. Nothing to do with Kesson's brand or his clothes are pretentious or anything other than who Kesson is. He designs and dresses exactly how he and his friends, and I think that you see that in the spectrum of people who buy into the brand.
You know, Scotland's very important to me, and Scottish manufacturing is very important to me, and all of our knitwear for autumn winter is made in Annan in Dumfries in Scotland. They're knitted on seamless Japanese machines here in Scotland. Our technical outerwear, our seam-sealed outerwear, is made in Cumbernauld, just outside Glasgow. In an ideal world, I'd like to make everything in Scotland if I possibly could. Unfortunately, that's not realistic, but we're definitely trying to work with a lot of these factories that, you know, haven't been pushed, you know, in terms of the product that they have been producing for some time. You know, they've been quite kind of traditional in terms of the types of product that they've made, but that's come through the kind of training with Nigel Caborn, is to go into factories and work with them very hands-on, you know, and I think that's important, and that's what's the kind of USP to the brand, really.
It's nice as well that people, I think, locally are really proud of what Kesson's doing. And the most recent collection, which is in sale at the moment, the Leithers, was all about the local people who lived in the docks, and Kesson took references, old naval references, and he always interweaves historical traits or Scottish heritage, but makes it really modern, so that you might just think, oh, I like that detail, but you wouldn't necessarily know why he's put it in there. And one of the old posties came in the other day and was handing over like a DPD package and said, you know, are you Kesson here? And he said, yeah. And he was like, you know, you make me so proud of where I live and where I come from. And it's just really nice that I think people, it's resonating with them, that they love what Kesson's doing, that he's exporting, you know, Scotland in a really, it's a new take on it.
When we look at the clothing, a lot of single colors, a lot of sort of almost a uniform sort of look to things. Is that conscious for you?
I don't think it's particularly conscious, but I think we've sort of always wanted to design a kind of modern uniform for the everyday man. You know, sometimes it's sort of described as kind of the, you know, clothing for media dads almost, you know, and that's what's really nice, is it kind of is, you know, acceptable and desirable for 20-year-old kids and 60-year-old dads. You know, it's not that niche that, you know, it definitely passes the pub test of, you know, you can go into the pub and your mate's not going to start laughing at you. You know, it's about the quality of the fabric. It's about where it's made, you know, and in terms of the colour palettes tend to change from season to season. Yeah, they're generally colours that are pretty wearable.
We've talked about sort of the pride in a made in Scotland label. There's a very strong history here of textiles. And when I think of made in Scotland, I think quite quality. We've mentioned the Harris and things like that. But I guess people would also think of it as a little bit more expensive. And that's perhaps why things haven't been made here for so long. But are we entering a new era where we could see a lot more design being produced here?
You know, for all sorts of different reasons, it's become, particularly for British brands, to make in the UK has become quite desirable. It's for a number of factors, really. You know, obviously there's a kind of uncertainty over Brexit and trading with the EU, where historically kind of small British brands that are producing small numbers have gone to kind of the likes of Portugal or Turkey or Italy. So, you know, the benefit of making in the UK at the moment is that the CMT, the cut, make and trim, the cost of actually machining something is relatively, it's the same kind of price as somewhere like a country like Japan or Italy would be, but you haven't got the kind of the currency issues to kind of deal with. You know, our problem is, as I sort of touched on there before, is that as a nation, you know, we haven't got many options in terms of cloth. And trims is also a kind of difficult thing to manage because we don't produce zips in the UK anymore. We do produce buttons, but they're very expensive. So we've kind of got to, you know, bring in all the materials and all the components from around the world. But actually, that's what makes us, you know, and our products really, really special. You know, whereas some brands may be kind of producing fully factored garments out of Italy or Portugal, where the manufacturer specifies the fabric, we are in complete control over all the different components to put into our garments. And that's what I believe is the kind of special thing about what we're doing.
Gemma, you've got bricks and mortar of your own. You're in a lot of stockists around the world. What's the market like right now? Are you online as well? And where's the sort of demand to see and buy the clothes?
So for us, UK and Japan are still the biggest markets. Obviously, we've got two retail stores, bricks and mortar in the UK. For us, I would say growing markets would be Europe, Scandinavia predominantly, and also Canada and the US. We're noticing a lot of interest, I think. Obviously, Kesson's collections tend to be a little bit heavier than, in particular, obviously, in the autumn winter season. But anyway, you're known for your outerwear and your knits. And I think that's why, obviously, more northern hemisphere markets are obviously more interested. But I think there will always be an affiliation in Japan. I think from the very beginning of your career, there's been like a natural affinity between Keston and the Japanese with his experience with Nigel Caborn. And it was funny, actually, once we were sitting on a plane before Keston had set up his brand, talking about, I think we were on the plane to Tokyo and we were reading about Margaret Howell and how she'd set up her business and just saying, you know, wow, one day wouldn't it be amazing if...
Yeah, it's weird. History's almost kind of repeated itself. You know, when I was working with Nigel Caborn, his partner, Sam Segore, and now his current partner was Japanese. And, you know, we fast forward time and now I'm sitting here with a brand with a Japanese partner. Yeah. It's kind of funny how history repeats itself.
I've read here in our newspaper, I believe your grandfather ran a pub nearby, is that right? And you're from this neck of the woods. You've got this incredible space. I imagine you're not here all the time, but what's it like for people to be able to walk in to this very unique place and perhaps even meet you and not know that you're the guy designing everything that's here?
We've decided, we made a conscious decision about almost 2 years ago now to close two small stores in Edinburgh. One was in a predominant shopping area in George Street and one was in a kind of Stockbridge, which is kind of the affluent kind of village within Edinburgh. And we kind of realized that retail was changing and we kind of wanted to create something that was really special for Scotland and for Edinburgh, a really unique retail environment, that we wanted to create something that was really kind of special and unique. We got an opportunity, me and my friend Gunnar, who's an architect with Gross Rains Grass Architects, who we share the space with now, to take on the building. And we've created a retail concept over two floors where we are roasting our own coffee, we have a gallery space, we're cutting hair, we've got a florist within season. And upstairs we share the office space with other graphic designers, architects, photographers. And that kind of was the vision really for what we're doing here and the Cruiser Store, which is the name for the store, and that's because of the history of the building. It's a long, thin building where cruise ships were brought in to do repairs on them, and we thought that was quite fitting for the store name.
What's the area like that we're around that you exist in? You mentioned people coming in and knowing the label and knowing what's happening, but you've got lots of other creatives. What's it like to be in this neighborhood specifically?
Leith is definitely an area of Edinburgh where it's a destination for people who are tourists. So there's a tourism level, but then it's the creative hub of Edinburgh, really. So there's a lot of small design agencies, advertising agencies, media, tech. It's got a good energy to it. It's very relaxed. I think that people who come to Leith like it because some areas within Edinburgh are relatively conservative, and Leith's so far removed from that. I mean, it's still a little bit gritty around the edges, but people down here like that because there's no pretentiousness. It is literally salt of the earth people. There's, banging pubs. Nobody bothers anybody. You've got the water of Leith, so there's like a calmness that I think always comes around the water. And there's a lot of Michelin-starred restaurants down here, so it's a big foodie haven that's obviously premium. But in terms of the retail scene, it's very much there isn't really one. Keston, kind of, when he first mentioned to me that he wanted to come down here, I have to admit I was, dubious.
It was a big risk.
I was dubious because it isn't retail, but I think what Keston, and quite rightly so, reasoned was that retail has to be special for people to come and shop. What's the point of creating an identikit store in an identikit street when that's not who his brand is, and it has personality, and he wants to be able to be there to see how the customers are shopping. I think because we both work in fashion and you are who you are, you don't realize sometimes actually how special it is to go somewhere and meet the designer, somebody who has actually created what you want to buy. And I actually...
That's always been important from the start. Even the first store that we had in Stockbridge, was a small kind of 600 square foot unit, and 300 square foot at the front was the store, and 300 square foot at the back, it was like four of us in there designing. And it was really important to kind of to hear the customers as they came in and tried things on, to go and meet and greet them where possible. Obviously you kind of took the good comments with the bad comments, but it was definitely interesting, and you learned a lot from that. So it was important to kind of continue that on when we moved down to Leith, and our studio backs onto the top level of the store where you can kind of see us, customers can come in and see Ellie and their cutting patterns, or the design team, they're in amongst a kind of a design meeting, I think that's really important for them to kind of really understand what we're doing here, and this is our home. Yes, we have the presence in Shoreditch, but we're very much an Edinburgh-based brand, and our design and production is done from here.
What's the scale of the company now? How many people do you have sort of working with you?
12 of us now. It's kind of pretty split evenly between Edinburgh and Shoreditch. Shoreditch, we need a kind of quite a few retail staff. It's a big store there. It's 2,400 square foot. Half of that in the basement is our wholesale showroom there. So we're selling our own Keston Hare brand there, but we're also distributing brands from Scotland there into Japan, and brands from Japan into the UK.
And you're also working with, I understand, other local designers and local people. Some of them you even carry in the retail space here, is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of important to me to kind of, I've been given this fantastic opportunity, and I'm very lucky to have this presence, on a London stage, and also in a kind of worldwide stage. So, I've got this opportunity to take great Scottish modern design and showcase that in Shoreditch, and if possible through collaborations or thing, to be able to wholesale that through the 100 odd stores that we sell to.
The contact you've had with customers in the past when you're in a different space, Gemma now, where you still have a little bit of that, but are further afield and in different stockists, what's that conversation like with the customers now, and do they still have sort of a good conversation back and forth with you and the brand?
Yeah, I think so. For us, I think as we enter into the next level of the growth of the Keston Hare brand, it's a part of my role is to ensure consistency across all touch points, and I think that's something which Keston obviously comes from the design background. And for me, it's all about making sure that the integrity of the brand is kept paramount. And I think that it's been a really interesting conversation across the years that we've been working together. We've had some rather large arguments about branding, and we've had some major fallings out, and I've threw my toys out of the pram a couple of times, and I now have learned when to back off on certain things, because ultimately it is Kesson's baby, but I know that if I sow the seed, eventually he'll come back round. So it's a little bit of a dance, but I think for us, we've got now a really clear strategy for the next 5 years. We know exactly how we want to grow the business, and for me, it's, I guess, nobody wants this to succeed more than, you know, other than Kesson is me. So for me, it's coming on board to ensure that he has got the structure and the support for the team, because he is so busy. He is being pulled in so many different directions, you know, fabric fairs, trade shows, showrooms. It's almost impossible. So I've come in, obviously, not only to look after brand and strategy, but also to look after the team, you know, to make sure that, almost to act as like a mothering role, to make sure that they have got the support that they need when Kesson's not around, because our staff are so incredibly important to us, and they're an amazing team. They've got, because we're small, they have to wear so many different hats, and they've got the best attitude. I mean, I've been so impressed, obviously, working for a brand like Harvey Nichols. Everybody has very clearly defined roles, and it's quite difficult to find people who are willing to learn or to go that extra mile.
To be able to kind of provide from a designer point of view is create jobs in Scotland for designers. You know, we've got, you know, Ellie with us, who studied at ECA, Edinburgh College of Art, and went down and worked with Margaret Hall for 4 years, and she's come back to Edinburgh and is now, you know, helping with the production and helping cut patterns and things. And, you know, it's great to be able to kind of provide that kind of opportunity for designers, which is pretty far and few between in Edinburgh and in Scotland, you know, to be able to study here and then go away to London and work. You know, we don't tend to get many designers kind of coming back after that, because the opportunities are just are not really there. And also working with the local kind of colleges and universities to be able to apply to help with placement schemes, and, you know, that's really beneficial to us as a small business, and beneficial to them as their career and experience.
Do you think more people are seeing that now there is a place they can move into in Scotland, stay at home, whether they're doing some part of the production and trade or design? Are people feeling a sense of that now?
There's been a kind of real move back to kind of craft and traditional crafts, and you know, people are, you know, going back to, you know, whereas before it wasn't really cool to be a seamstress, you know, when you came out of college. Now it's, you know, people are changing the perceptions of that and be able to create kind of products looking back at old sort of British, Scottish crafts, you know, whether they're making hats or bags, you know, and through kind of, you know, online platforms, Shopify and Instagram, you know, shopping, it's been able to give them a shop window that they don't necessarily need a shop. You know, they can produce really quality goods, and maybe that costs a little bit more, but they can, by selling that directly to the customer, they can kind of overcome that.
I just want to ask about the look of some of the lines. In the photographs we see here, you've got both men and women wearing the clothes, and you mentioned designing for a different age range. And I imagine you don't have a sort of a single man in mind when you're designing, but is that a unique thing that the clothes are worn and shown on both men and women?
Yeah, I think we've definitely get a lot of girls and now buying, you know, little workwear jackets from us now. You know, we're getting more and more of a demand for women's wear. So, you know, that's definitely something that we're looking at for the future. I think a lot of the fabrics then translates, you know, across the board. You know, most of the factories that we work with in the UK also produce women's wear. We're looking at that as a kind of possibility for the strategy over the next 5 years. There is a kind of this kind of character in mind. I think it's probably, you know, we're kind of surrounded by them here in Leith. You know, they're architects, they're guys that work in media. They want to feel comfortable. They want to feel, you know, that they're relaxed, but they still kind of appreciate quality and where the garment's made. So, yeah, I suppose there is a kind of, you know, a kind of target customer, if you like, there.
It's very casual. I would say that a lot of people say, oh, Keston, why don't you do a suit? Keston does a suit, but it's Keston's version of a suit, and he'll never be pushed into doing something that's black tie or traditional. He does it in a slightly more relaxed cut, in amazing like seersucker fabric or something that is just, it's got your handwriting. And I think you always design with complete integrity as to who you are, because, you know, Keston comes from Scotland, but he's never worn a kilt and he will never wear a kilt. You wear what you want to wear and you won't be pushed into it. And I think that you never design with women in mind, but I have always borrowed /stolen things from your closet, even if they're too big for me. And I can't really wear the trousers because the cut of the trousers, but all of the knits, all of the shirts, all of the outerwear, and I get so many compliments. So
the shop coat this season, which has kind of been a bit of a staple, you know, we're getting more and more girls now buying this kind of like oversized shop coat, which just looks really cool and you know, of the moment, really. But I think, you know, the love of finding and sourcing vintage clothing that was definitely part of my training at Nigel Caborn, you know, taking a workwear jacket and a kind of workwear pant but then putting it into kind of like a new seersucker cloth or something becomes then the kind of Keston Hare suit that's, you know, kind of relaxed but somebody can wear with a t-shirt and a pair of trainers but feel comfortable to go to a meeting in.
I think it's very modern. That's how suiting is. I think for certain type of person, suiting's still relevant, but you know yourself, like nobody wears, even banks are saying to people they don't have to wear suits anymore. It's, things are changing. And I think if you're going to buy a suit, you know, you're going to either go to Savile Row, you know where you're going to go. You don't want to be kind of like mid-market. So I think Keston knows what your USP is and he sticks to that.
You mentioned there scale and sort of a five-year vision, as many sort of entrepreneurs or business people would think in those terms. But as the company grows, what's your day-to-day with your hands on things? Are you able to hand things off, or are you still signing off on everything that happens?
No, I think I'm too involved in all the kind of detail of everything, and I wouldn't really have it any other way. You know, it's important to me that I like to get involved with all of my staff's kind of roles, not to kind of micromanage them or whatever, but, you know, just so I can understand the problems and issues that they face on a day-to-day basis and see how we can try and make it, a smoother process or help with the kind of the strategy of each individual role. And by doing that, you know, every designer in some ways is a bit of a kind of, you know, he's got that kind of OCD, you know, kind of control freak type, you know, kind of attitude. But that's what makes people, you know, great designers. I think that level of, attention to detail.
You talk about being busier and busier and being pulled in different directions as the brand grows. But what are the essential things you're looking at right now in moving forward?
You know, online is 60% up on last year, which is really great. You know, for me, it's you know, I think we've got to concentrate on the two stores that we have and making them great retail experiences. You know, that's really important, I think, you know, for the future. I think, you know, to get people to go to stores, I think they've got to be inspiring. I think they've got to be somewhere that you kind of feel like you want to go to and spend time in. And I really believe in the destination retail experience is the kind of future of retail, really, and be able to provide, you know, we're almost becoming much more of a kind of a lifestyle brand and not so much a menswear brand. It's everything that you see around you that adds to the experience and also kind of adds to my inspiration about how we can kind of propel things forward, you know. But, you know, we're concentrating on, you know, producing great collections and you know, that's the first and foremost kind of in my mind, really.
That's all we have time for on today's show. Thank you very much to Gemma and Keston for sharing the story of Keston Hare. This show was produced by Daniel Bache and mixed and edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.